Tuesday Night Blitz live on AsylumFantasyFootball.com and BTRFF.com.
Yes, indeed. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, at Asylum Football, the embarrassing crawl to 1,000 continues to fail miserably.
That's all right. You can hear us on Thursdays and the weekend on WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
Absolutely. All right, Rick, no time for shtick tonight. We got a million things going on. We're going to switch her up a little bit tonight. We'll hit the headlines, a lot of big headlines coming out of this week. We'll go ahead and give our game balls and our socks for a while, and then we're going to do something a little special. You know, we got to thinking everybody's either you're either celebrating or lamenting your team one way or the other. So we thought if you could just start over again now and redraft, how drastically different would it look from what we said at the beginning of the year and what everyone actually did? So we'll do two or three rounds, a standard 12-team PPR league. We'll redraft it and try and just see how different it looks compared to what was happening in August.
And that should prove quite exciting.
Well, yeah, thrilling, I would say, no question about it, as I'm eating my headphone cord here. I don't know what's going on. Well, Rick, let's jump into the headlines. I think the biggest headline, without question, you're looking at, oh, man, just the week of quarterbacks going down. Concussions, you got the Ben Roethlisberger shoulder. But let's start with the concussions. Michael Vick, Jay Cutler, and Alex Smith all go down with concussions. Rumors floating already that Vick may be done for the year. I wonder if that doesn't have less to do with the concussion and more to do with his performance prior to the concussion.
I don't know. There have been some hard hits taken by quarterbacks over the weekend. I'll tell you what, it was scary seeing some of these guys. Cutler, he tried to finish it out and, just wasn't getting done. Of course, really no one was getting it done in that game.
No, just a mess anyhow. You hated to see it happen as it did. But so it looks like Vic could be out an extended period of time. Bears already making plans to be without Cutler. Alex Smith sort of up in the air. But I think out of all of that, the biggest injury, Rick, on what I thought was a sort of a benign-looking tackle, a hit he took last night, Ben Roethlisberger with that shoulder, still way up in the air, I'm not sure, but, tough to see. They're talking could be multiple weeks. Let the worrying begin here in Pittsburgh with the Ravens coming up, too, in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And the last thing I saw, that they're calling it a shoulder strain. And it's something they say it's unusual because it's something, the tissue or something, and it connects the sternum up towards the clavicle. And I guess it's not a shoulder dislocation now,
yeah.
But it still seems awful painful to me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I think optimistic to think he'd play this week. If he would play this week, how well would he? You see different reports that because it's not separated, it couldn't be as long, and then reports on ESPN that they're making long-term plans for a while without Ben Roethlisberger. And boy, does that change everything, not only with Roethlisberger and the Steelers, but from a fantasy perspective in terms of Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown when he gets back healthy. This could just be a disaster. Heath Miller, this could be a disaster for all Steelers involved.
Yeah, and the word with Antonio Brown, his ankle's worse than what was first thought to start with. We're not really sure on his, comeback. Mendenhall's still questionable. Paul Amal is doubtful with that calf. Clark had a concussion issue on defense. They are just riddled with injuries.
Just coming apart where it's been the offensive line most of the last couple of years. It was held to the offensive line. It's sort of going across all positions. So, yeah, this will be the week spending waiver claims on some quarterbacks. Maybe we'll spend some time Friday on some quarterback pickups. There's going to be some guys scratching around. Speaking of concussions, Fred Jackson already ruled out on Thursday with a concussion he suffered late in the game against the Patriots. So if you have C.J. Spiller, you hate to root for an injury, but this is sort of what you were waiting for. It's C.J. Spiller time again.
Yeah, that's for sure. How effective are they going to be? I don't know. I mean, they've been kind of up until this last game against New England, the Buffalo offense has been really anemic. I don't know if they're going to get it going toward the second half of the season or not, but you've got to get them in there.
Yeah, now that you know Spiller is going to be getting all those carries, I think this is the time to get him back in the lineup. And actually, Fred Jackson had the big week last week. It's a shame suffering that injury late and then being taunted by Takiyo Spikes. Shard Choi says he'll get his. I'm not sure what he means by that, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yeah, well, you know, we already have seen what C.J. Spiller can do, and, you know, expect good things by putting him in there. You may not get him with Buffalo, but you know what he's capable of.
Oh, no doubt about it, a home run hitter like a la Jamaal Charles, who even in a bad game can bust one off at some point. And for 2 or 3 weeks when Jackson was out earlier in the year, C.J. Spiller was a top fantasy back for probably the first 4 weeks of the year, so definitely a must-start while Fred Jackson's out.
Yeah, and, you know, there's really some dismal performances this week from running backs as
yeah.
well. You know, we'll get into some of those later with some of the stinky socks, but certainly not the year of the running back. I mean, there's been some good performances, and, you know, some of these guys are coming on. You know, Chris Johnson's coming on. Peterson, just a robot.
Just, it's amazing. The man, he's just simply not human, just as simple as that. He came back devastating knee injury less than 12 months ago, and he came back better than he was before he left. Just incredible. A couple other injury notes. Jordy Nelson practiced Monday. He looks on pace to come back. And Pierre Garçon, this could be interesting for the Redskins. A lot of talk that he may be done for the year. He's going to opt for surgery. Apparently he didn't. Was back at practice and has a chance to play this week against the Eagles. This guy for a couple weeks was RG3's favorite target and putting up some serious fantasy numbers. This would be a guy who could come back and turn some fortunes around for some fantasy owners.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I wish we could curse on WSRU and I could give you the response that Rick gave to me when I brought this up before we went on the air.
I'm just not sold on Garçon, and number one. Number two, that foot injury, I tell you, I got to see him before I'm going to stick him back in my lineup.
Yeah, no question about it. You worry about receivers and any skilled player with foot injuries. So, well, that's it, Rick. It's all injury news. Everyone knows what it is. We'll cover a lot more of that on Friday. So we'll jump into the game balls and stinky socks. But before we do that, Rick, we got a call on the line. So let's go ahead and do that first.
All right.
Area code 609. You are on the air. How's it going?
Good, gentlemen. I got a couple questions. You know, if you can maybe answer for me my fantasy, need a little help here. In my PPR league, you get 10-point rushing touchdown, a point for every 10 yards. You get 10 yards or 100 yards rushing or receiving, you get another 5 bonus points. I got Forte Ridley, and I have Ryan Matthews. I have Michael Bush, but I don't play him. I have DeMarco Murray. The problem is Ridley's a no-brainer. The problem is you go with Forte, who could explode against 49ers, you don't know, or Ryan Matthews, you never know how Norm Turner is going to use him. Which of the two do you like as my second RB?
I'll tell you what, I'm a Ryan Matthews guy, Rick, so I'll let you take this one. But I got, even with the 49ers, I almost have to err on the side of Forte, especially 10-point rush TD. That's huge. I think Forte has a better shot of getting in the end zone. Ryan Matthews is just never used at the goal line.
Yeah, I've got to concur. I listened back some of the archives, and you'll know what I think of Ryan Matthews. The guy's talented. I don't trust him, and he's been very underwhelming this year. I mean, I got to go Forte there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out with that thing. I got Forte in there now. I want to make that. Another situation. I got in the standard league, I have Romo and I have Freeman. I try to get as many. In my league, they're equal in regards to what they're going to put up or estimated this week. Do you like Romo's high because I have Witten as my tight end, more upside against Cleveland, or do you think Freeman has more upside against, I forget who they're playing, Tampa Bay's playing?
They're playing Carolina, and I'd go Freeman all day long.
Those are two good matchups, I'll tell you what. I'm going to disagree, so I don't think we're going to help you much on this one. I think when it's even like this, I err on the side of the guy who I just is probably generally more talented. Romo going
right
up against Cleveland, anybody going up against Cleveland, coming out of that big win, I just like to see that. I love Freeman, too, and I think in most situations I'm going to give you Freeman, but I think
right,
I'm going to be more of a Romo guy going up against that terrible Browns team this week.
Actually, that's what I was trying to figure, because I actually played Freeman this week, and it was only about a .3 difference between. It was like 20.85 versus 20.36.
Well, the thing is, you got real potential. You're not comparing Freeman with Blaine Gabbert. I mean, I don't think you're going to be ridiculed either way you go. I mean, you got to go with your gut. If you think Romo's going to come up with, some more yards and touchdowns this week and
right.
matchup, yeah, go with it. I mean, yeah, there's a lot worse quarterbacks out there to go with. It's just, in me, I like the way Tampa's getting it going, and it's a division game, and, I think they're going to handle Carolina.
Yeah, they said Freeman threw like 138 yards and one TD the first in week one, you know what I mean? So, again, Freeman's throwing a lot better now than what he did in week one also, you know what I mean? So that's why I was wondering. Hey, do you think Antonio Brown, my son in the PPR league, he's got Dez Bryant going down, he's got Lance Moore. The problem is he's in the thick of the playoffs too, but his backups are who's hurt. We don't have an IR. Is Greg Jennings, and he's got Antonio Brown. Like he could pick up a Malcolm Floyd if he would have dropped the Antonio Brown or a James Jones. But the problem is once Jennings comes back, Jones becomes not a factor. Is it a smart move to drop Antonio Brown for one of them, or just try to ride out the storm with Lance Moore and Dez Bryant as his two receivers?
Yeah, I mean, I like both of those guys. I like Bryant. I like Lance Moore. Antonio Brown, if he gets back healthy and if Roethlisberger only ends up being out a couple of weeks,
right.
He's way better than anybody you've named on that list. So as long as he can hold on here for a couple more weeks, and I do, I like Lance Moore week to week. If Dez Bryant's healthy based on the matchup, especially this week, I like a guy like Dez Bryant. So I don't think anything you're going to get off the waiver wire is going to be better than Antonio Brown. Even if it does end up being a couple more weeks, it really sets you up for the playoffs. I think I'd stick with Antonio Brown.
I'll tell him to do that. And then do you think after this week here, Ivory will be a thing, because in my standard league, I got McFadden Hurts. I got Trent Richardson back. I got Sean Green. I was going to drop Taiwan Jones, and I also have Andre Brown, but Andre Brown's on a bye. Again, Sean Green's going to get at least 15 carries. You don't know how many carries Ivory's going to get. He's like thunder and lightning in a bottle. But as soon as I pick him up, he'll be a dud in the bottle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. I'll tell you what, going up against Oakland, though, this kid's a home run hitter. That was a Marshawn Lynch type of rush from the few years ago in the playoffs. It sort of revitalized his career. I'm buying into Ivory. You're right. You're not guaranteed how many touches he's going to get, but in limited touches, he's going to continue to have success. And I think it's time, when you're talking a low-end RB2 in a flex spot, I think it's time to get Chris Ivory in your lineups. And, Rick, I know you're big on him.
Oh, yeah. Did you start him over Sean and Green, guys?
Chris Ivory's awesome. I just don't see why he hadn't been getting more playing time, to be honest with you. But with Sproles out, I think he's going to get quite a bit of action with New Orleans, and Sean Green's going to get his touches, but you're going to get your 50 to 70 yards, and if you get lucky, you'll get a touchdown.
That's what I was wondering. Do you think for this week, Ivory is a better play than Green, than Sean Green?
I do. I mean, you got Green going up against St. Louis, not a terrible defense, a terrible offense is why they lose games, but not a terrible defense. You've got Ivory going up against a pretty bad Oakland team who has given up on an average about 50 points the last few weeks. You saw what Doug Martin did to them. I think if you're going to roll the dice for 1 week, that's where the matchup's going to be. And then if it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out, but this would be the best situation to do it in.
All right. I'll do it that way there. And Junior, with him having Rodgers, does he need Tannehill as his backup, does he need to pick up Nick Foles? God forbid if Rodgers ever got hurt, or just kind of let Foles.
Yeah.
I don't know if Foles wants to get to New Orleans, but it happened, you know.
I'd ride with Tannehill if he's got Tannehill at a backup. I don't have a problem with that. Foles, he's the hot thing in Philly. He came out through that early touchdown to Macklin, and then he sort of came back to earth and looked like a rookie. I'd stand pat. It doesn't hurt to pick him up. Him and Tannehill, probably a wash. I've seen Tannehill have a couple of games, so that's a 50-50 deal. I don't think you gain or lose much either way.
All right, well, appreciate it. We got
thank you
questions in the chat room here. We appreciate the call, man.
All Thank you, man. Appreciate you, guys. You take care. Really appreciate your time. You have a nice evening.
Thanks. You too.
All right, let's get one. We got one in the chat room. Who should I start this week? Tannehill playing the Bills, Cam Newton playing the Bucks, or Nick Foles playing the Redskins?
Oh, back to Foles and Tannehill.
I got to go with Cam.
The Bucks playing a pretty good brand of defense right now, but he's still Cam Newton. He could put up a real dud, but on a week-to-week, this is a guy you drafted in the second or third round. So I stick with Newton. I wouldn't get too cute here at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think as much to think about. Cam Newton at least is putting up some points. Tannehill was in a negative in fantasy points last weekend, and Nick Foles is a rookie. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. I think he's a much safer play.
Absolutely. Well, that was easy.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, well, let's move on. Let's do some game balls and some stinky socks, and then when we get to about the 30-minute mark, we'll jump right into this new draft that everybody is waiting breathlessly for, I'm certain. So I'm going to give out a game ball first, Rick, and it's going to be sort of an overall to the big-time tight ends this week, sort of a resurgence. Everybody drafted a lot of these guys early. Hasn't really panned out. They've been fine. They haven't been first-round talents. But you look at Jimmy Graham, 7 for a 146, 2 touchdowns. Tony Gonzalez, 11 for 122, 2 touchdowns. Greg Olsen, a guy I picked up off the waiver wire on Sunday morning and plugged into a lineup in one league. He paid off just a little bit with 9 for 102 and 2 touchdowns.
The only bright spot in that Carolina offense.
Yeah, less yardage, but finding the end zone where Gronkowski, all these big guys you look for, these guys finding the end zone. A big week for the tight end in Week 10.
Yes, indeed. And the ageless wonder, Tony Gonzalez,
just
leading all tight ends in scoring right now. At least in full point PPR format.
Not sure
how the bye has fallen on some of them. I think Atlanta's had their bye there, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think he has a game in hand. So, I mean, he's just having a phenomenal year.
And here's a guy you didn't spend a late first round, early second round draft pick on. I believe I got him in the 7th, 8th type round. I have him in 3 different leagues. I was that high on him this year in the entire Falcons offense, to be honest with you. Guy I got in the 7th and 8th round and was able to get better value in those early rounds.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, quite frankly, with 66 catches, granted he's only got the 1 touchdown. I picked up Jason Witten in the 12th and 13th this year with a ruptured spleen, and he's certainly panning out.
Paid off that 18 reception game anyhow. That one didn't hurt, although I think he still lost to me that week, but we won't get into that. So I'll let you have a game ball, Rick, before you have to lament on being 0-2 versus me this year and playing again this week in a very strange scheduling format of the Caveman League.
I don't know why. We didn't play this past weekend. I don't know where you're coming up with a strange format here.
Well, we're playing for the third time.
Well, every division opponent plays each other 3 times.
But
that's the way it's been set up for the last 2 years.
Well, I don't pay that
much
attention.
Okay.
But I think you wouldn't want to play me that often.
You actually
came awake
and realize that you actually have a schedule.
Have you ever beat me, I guess is the question? You may want to get rid of that format considering you're about 0-18 for me in your life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you remember quite well the recent stuff. 3 years ago, I think I waxed you every single time while you, I don't know, what, you win 2 games that year?
Well, that's all right. Then I turned around, took a champion.
I have a question here.
Okay.
Dez, Amendola, or Cobb? PPR.
Dez, Amendola, or Cobb? That's tough. I tell you, a lot of guys are down on him. You got Dez playing Cleveland. He looks healthy. He had a nice week last week. I got to stick with Dez. He's just the best receiver with the best quarterback on that list. Well, not the best quarterback. I guess Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback. Cobb's always interesting. But I'm always worried about those third receiver types who have the big weeks. They can have weeks where they disappear, too. I think Dez is just the safer play. Upside is Cobb, but the safer play week to week is going to be Dez Bryant for me.
I tell you what, and in PPR, Danny Amendola is very attractive. I mean, he's getting all the looks, it seems like, from Bradford. And I guess in that, if I'm going 1 week, I'd probably have to go with you. Probably Dez, then Amendola, and Cobb.
Dez is playing the Browns, and I'm really obsessed with that game. A good passing offense playing the Browns.
Yeah, and, you know, Cleveland can lose, that's for sure. But nobody
today, Cleveland can lose.
I know, but you have to let me finish my thought,
I'm sorry.
I mean, but they, thinking. I mean, they're not the team that goes out and people just blow out, you know, 45-7 or whatever. I mean, they're not that bad defensively. Yeah, I mean, they're on the field too long, which is the problem, is why they're losing games.
Okay. Well, whatever the reason, give me Dez Bryant and most anybody else going up against them.
Okay.
Cobb's always interesting. He is. And I'll tell you, here's a guy I've been playing a lot of these weekly leagues I got into when we had Draft Street advertised with us a few weeks back. Really gotten into that. Had a lot of success on there as well. And Cobb's always a guy in the lower tier you can pick up. And he does pay off. I'm just thinking week to week. Dez Bryant can go for 9, 10 grabs, 140, and 2 touchdowns any given week if he's healthy. If he's banged up, you got to stay away from him. I just have a hard time getting away from Dez Bryant. He is, when his head's right, he's a big-time receiver in this league.
Yeah, when his head right, when he's not dropping the balls.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, he could easily get 3 catches with 7 drops. But, nah, he's probably the safer pick. I will go along with that. But, I look at matchups with Amendola, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's tough. It's just I don't trust that offense. They had a nice week last week, and Amendola benefited from that. I mean, look at what Steven Jackson did. That was a big surprise. We'll get into that in the game balls. It's just not something you're going to get out of that St. Louis team week to week. And Amendola has been successful when healthy in spite of it. I have a hard time trusting him there.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I do. It's the Rams. I mean, it's kind of like you're talking about Cleveland. It is the Rams. Yeah. It's hard to trust them.
The Rams can lose, too, I've heard.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Football Show for brilliant football analysis.
Yeah.
You are all welcome.
Yeah. Kansas City can lose.
They certainly can.
They almost won. That was the bad part about it.
That's pathetic as a Steelers
fan. It was.
Fan.
Okay, I'm going to give out a game ball here.
Yeah, please do.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
It's just the only quarterback go over 400 yards this past week. They 411 yards. Just a phenomenal display. And he's moved up quite rapidly. He's about – we looked at different formats. I have him at 3rd in scoring and fantasy points. I think you have him at 4th in the format you looked at. But he's right there.
Yeah, I mean, a guy – sort of a steal. He started to creep up at the end. A guy you assailed me for drafted in the 6th round of one of those drafts. We're in, I believe it was the Icon Gridiron Experts League. You assailed me for taking him with the last pick in the 6th round. There's a guy, a lot of value. The guys he's up there with, your Breezes, your Bradys, your Rodgers, went in the 1st round. Again, you want to talk value. You're never going to get that value out of him again, but a nice value this year.
Oh, yeah. But I would assail you probably if you took him in a 10th round because it's fun.
That's true because you're just old and grumpy and kind of a jerk, to be honest with you.
I'm a jerk, but I'm not grumpy.
So speaking of jerks.
I'm a happy jerk.
Happy jerk. I don't know what that means, but we'll go with that. So speaking of jerks, let's jump in. I'll give out a stinky sock here. It's tough for me. There's a lot of good candidates, but I got to start with who was both of our running back starts of the week, unfortunately. Michael Turner, 15 yards on 13 carries against by far the worst rushing defense in the NFL. Michael Turner, have a big smelly one right in the nose. Just a pathetic performance.
It was hideous. And, I mean, there's not nobody that I know of didn't think Michael Turner wasn't going to have a big week.
No, we weren't breaking any ground when we made that prediction, so we look like jerks along with everybody else, I think.
Yeah, but there's not much to say, and I tell you what, on that same line, I'm going with Ray Rice. And not so much Ray Rice, just I don't know what's going on with Baltimore. The offense got to go through him, but I don't know what's up with the line. 13 rushes, 35 yards.
Yeah.
He did make a touchdown.
He did put it in the end zone,
but
why is he only getting 13 carries? And especially in a game where you're blowing him out, that game was never close. Yeah, I understand. The backups got some looks because they were so far ahead, but this is a standard stat line for Ray Rice, and if he wasn't getting in the end zone every week, he wouldn't even be playable at this point.
Oh, I know. It's terrible. What's Harbaugh doing with fake field goals when you're up by 400 points?
Well, I tell you, I kind of like it, and here's why
I don't mind it, but I'm just, you know.
I don't think he would have done it had the Oakland corner, he remember Bolden. He got in Bolden's face after he broke up the pass. Bolden did the, I love this move. There's nothing better than just pointing to the scoreboard. That's the best answer to any jerk who's getting it handed to him, barking. And then the next play, you run the fake just to say, all right, now shut up. It's done. I enjoyed it. It's a jerk move, but I'm a jerk, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know. I just but he's not trying to move up in the rankings, you know. But who cares? I kind of liked it myself. I just don't like him. So
There's a big part of that. We'll have to watch his sourpuss all week leading up to the Baltimore Steelers thrashing without Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, who should I pick up? Denario Alexander playing Denver or Titus Young playing Green Bay?
Oh, that's tough.
I would definitely go Titus Young, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I definitely think you're wrong. Denario Alexander, I mean, look, San Diego, they brought out Meacham. He hasn't panned out. Floyd has been very Malcolm Floyd-y. It's just doing what he does. Alexander, a real deep threat, a gunslinger like Rivers who just likes to heave it up. I actually had Alexander next on a perfect segue next on my game ball, 5 for 134 and a touchdown. Of course, one of them being for 80 yards, so you're looking at 4 for 50, a nice game, a target Rivers hasn't had all year. I think they got something special brewing there, and I like Denario Alexander.
You can like them all you want. You want to trust Phillip Rivers, go for it.
Well, no, I don't trust Phillip Rivers, but you can trust Matt Stafford about as equally less as Phillip Rivers.
Show.
Well, you're wrong, clearly.
You know, just I told you last week when you were spouting off the PA Jet fan.
I don't spout.
Go on with Tannehill. Go on with Tannehill. What I say, you'll be sorry.
Yeah, you did say that, but you were wrong. Well, I hate that gong. God.
Put it in the bank, pal.
All right, I guess it's over. The gong has sounded. So, Rick, we won't use Alexander, but I do have to give a game ball. Let's stick with that Ravens game. I only do this because you're not going to get to do it very often. But I want to give a little dap to our friend Joe Flacco. 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, plus a rush TD. This is, remember after week one, he had that monster game in week one, and we were doing a lot of talking as Flacco fantasy relevant. We found out real quickly he wasn't. I just think as much time as we spend busting his chops, we got to give him credit where credit's due. And Joe Flacco, a huge week this week.
Make it a little tennis ball.
What?
I don't want to give him a full-size game ball. I don't like Joe Flacco.
Well, that's fine. That's not what we do here.
I know. No, that was a good one. All right. I'll tell you what. Second week in a row, I'm going to give a stinky sock to Philadelphia.
Just the whole city?
I think the team.
Well, if everyone in Philly could have heard what Rick had to say when we were driving through it, leaving Fantasy Football Fest in Atlantic City, you'd know where this is coming from.
Yeah, they are just a wreck.
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. And Vic out, and they thought the young man coming in was going to save the day, and he had one big throw to Macklin, and then he came back to earth. I don't understand it. Andy Reid's offense has always been successful, and this year they just can't get it going.
No, they can't, and they couldn't get her done with Vince Young there. And
the dream team.
The
with
dream
Vince
team.
Young.
Yeah, and Vic is Vic.
And just a turnover machine.
Yes, indeed. And the wideouts, I mean, I do like Macklin. I never was much on DeSean Jackson. I know he's a great threat, you know, punt returns and kick returns and so forth.
Yeah, and a PPR Jackson, you can't play.
Yeah, and he's very inconsistent. I just don't like that team. Their offensive line has been horrid. I mean, what New Orleans did to them just speaks volumes.
Yeah, no question about it. So sticking with the stinky sock, I'll give out one. Here we go. It's November. It's the New York Giants, and it's Eli Manning. Once again, 215 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks, a terrible game out of Manning. So the question is, this has sort of become the MO for this team. They tread water through September and October, and actually this year we're one of the better teams in the league through September and October. Terrible in November. Are they going to pick it up, and specifically is Eli Manning going to pick it up as they have in the past in December, or are you really concerned about Manning?
Hey, you tell me. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. They're 6-4. They've just looked terrible the last couple of weeks.
Right, not even in the game against Cincinnati.
And
Cincinnati's not a bad team, but they weren't even in
that
game.
That's the thing with New York. They could turn around and come back and win 38-3, and he could throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns, or they could have more of the same.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
But
they're relatively healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, with the exception of Bradshaw's, he's always gimping a little bit. Brown's picked it up some.
And now Bradshaw dealing with a neck, so there's more question marks for him.
Yeah, I mean, but they're still fairly functional. Their wide receivers are still pretty good. I just don't. You know, it's hard to say. They just may explode.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough. So I think the point is you can't give up on Eli Manning, because come December, he does seem to pull it together. And like Rick said, any given week, he's the best quarterback in the league. And then the last two or three weeks, just been awful. So, Rick, we're hitting about that 30-minute mark. So let's give out one more game ball, and we'll jump right into our draft.
All right, I'm going to give out a game ball to beast mode Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, no question.
I mean,
that
man is just running like a man possessed.
Week after week after week. It just never fails. Fortunate to have him in the league we've been talking about, Rick. It's a guaranteed 25 points every week. In a bad week, it's 102 yards and a touchdown. In a good week, it's 140 and a touchdown. Just steady as a rock week after week. He hasn't let me down yet. He's had some under 100-yard weeks, but very few and barely under 100 yards. And this is what you used to want in fantasy football back in the old days before the 200-yard receivers and in the PPR. This guy, just I can't say it any better than just solid as a rock every week.
Yes, he is, and certainly deserves a game ball.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm going to give a game ball, a guy who had faded. We never really talked a lot about it, Rick. I'd seen some talk on some of the fantasy sites saying, told you so, don't waste a high pick on this guy. Madden curse, is it over? Is it going to be an awful year? And Calvin Johnson responds with 12 grabs for 207 yards and a touchdown. Calvin Johnson still is Megatron. He's had some down weeks, but we're getting to that time. Maybe he's finally getting healthy. Just a massive week out of Calvin Johnson.
Just one of those guys. He's going to be in your lineup no matter what he's doing. So
yeah, no question about that. Well, Rick, let's jump in. You're listening to the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at asylumfantasyfootball.com, btrff.com, and 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock. Rick, let's jump right into it. It's time to start all over again. We get to own six teams each. Let's do a standard 12-team league. We'll get through as many rounds as we can and see how what was that? Rick, I wish you could see this. He could not be more disgusted to be sitting here with me and doing this show today. Every time I look over, he's waving his hands at me, scoffing at me. Do you have something better to do? Because I can handle it from here if you got something going on.
You're just totally misreading me. I just don't know where this is coming from.
All right, Rick. Well, I'll tell you what. Since you're being a jerk today as we shuffle our papers around getting ready for the draft, since you're going to
be... Hey, this show is full of jerks.
Yeah, well, no question about it. But since you're being especially jerky today, I'm going to give myself the first pick. There'll be no need for any talk
about
it.
We don't even get to flip a coin.
No, we do not. I'm taking the first pick. And with the first pick, Rick, I know the numbers don't quite bear it out. I was actually surprised to see Aaron Rodgers is the number one fantasy scorer to this point. But I'm going to draft with the first pick overall, and this is really unlike me, but this is where I'm changing. With the first pick overall, Rick, I'm going to take Drew Brees.
Okay. I mean, that's not shocking. It is for you, because you never take quarterbacks.
Well, and that's why I want to put...
You know, it's what we've been hitting on. You know, the draft strategies are really starting to change, and... you know, it's the years of the quarterback and wide receivers now, especially in PPR. But, okay.
Well, something we talked about, Rick, before you make a pick, and why I did this. To be honest, if I'm sitting there next August, I don't know if I make this move. I still don't know if I could do it. But we talked a lot in July and August about, you know, go ahead, let these top three guys go. There's such a mass of people, and we had Matt Ryan in that list, and Ben Roethlisberger, and Eli Manning, of guys after them that are going to score comparably. Those guys aren't doing it. They're having good years, but it's not comparable. The running back position so far down, if you can get one of these top quarterbacks, you are at an advantage, and a bigger advantage than I thought it was going to be back in August.
Yeah, and in early August, I mean, you know, July, early August, I was thinking the same way. When it got to the end of August, you know, you kept looking. You know, we started, you know, some of the leagues I'm in by myself and some of the ones we're in together, taking Breeze with the first pick when we had a chance. We took Rodgers, I think, one of them.
Yeah, but
we were
in the ninth, tenth pick, not number one
true.
Overall.
Exactly. But they're throwing the points up.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Rick, well, we're going to get through even two rounds of this. We better keep moving. So with the second overall pick, Rick, who are you going to take?
Rodgers.
No. Brilliant analysis again out of my friend. Now I'm going to go a little off script, Rick, with the third pick. So we've got Brees, we've got Rodgers gone. I think I can wait if I'm one of these other guys and pick up another one. For me, after what was the holy trinity of running backs we called, I'm going outside of that. Just third overall pick, Rick, I'm going to take Adrian Peterson.
Oh, yeah. I think he's now back to number one by the looks of it. And I see nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
No question about it. So the fourth pick is to you, my friend.
All right. I mean, going at it, what we're seeing right now, it's incredible.
Brilliant.
It
okay?
is.
It's incredible.
Brandon Marshall
with the fourth overall pick. Now that's a homer pick for you, not that you're a Bears fan, but you've got the worst case of man love I've ever seen between you and Brandon Marshall. Do you really think fourth overall, you like him more than, we won't throw Kylan out there, but you like him more than A.J. Green?
Yeah, I do.
That much more?
Well,
you just drafted him, so.
Yeah, I mean, that much more? No, not that much more, but, slightly.
Yeah. So let's move on to the fifth pick. We still have some quarterbacks out there. Rick, I'm not ready to pull the trigger yet. I'll go with the overall number one in most leagues this year. And with the fifth pick, I'm going to take Arian Foster.
Okay.
Been solid. Hasn't put up the stupid numbers he tended to put up in spurts last year. But a solid 100, 40, 50 yards receiving in the end zone at least once every week. I like Arian Foster there.
All right. I don't blame you at all, and I tell you what, we're kind of going off, I'm going to gamble a little bit here, but, we're basically going for the rest of the year. I like Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I think sort of the area he was taken in this year, and a guy really turned it around, 126, and found the end zone again this week. This guy is going to be a shame to see him go on by. He gets on this roll. I hope nothing stops it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we're up to number seven, Rick. I think it's time to get back to the quarterbacks. I'm debating here. Tom Brady, for all the big numbers he's put up, it's been, I don't want to say a disappointment, but in terms of the Madden type of numbers some of these guys are putting up, I think at number seven, a guy we've already talked about tonight over Tom Brady, I'm going with Matt Ryan.
Okay, that's very interesting. But, well-deserved, the stats he's putting up. Okay, what are we at? Number eight. I think I'll have to go Brady.
Yeah, it's about that time, sort of where he went in your preseason.
Of course,
draft.
Now we're getting down into Gronk territory.
Well,
I think,
not for me. Is Taz in the chat room? He maybe see if he's still willing
to
do it
again.
Is he in there? So ask him if he'd still be willing to do it. So, Rick, I'm going to go. We're sitting at number nine, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to go a guy I just mentioned. It's between two guys for me here. I hope you let the other one fall to me in the 11 spot. But A.J. Green's a guy I'm going to take here at nine.
Yeah, I mean, why not? That guy's awesome. I'll tell you what, with the way things are going right now, and we're basically basing it on the rest of the year, I got to go Doug Martin.
Yeah, no question about it. This guy... only 60 yards this week, but what he did in the last 2 weeks, still managed four grabs for 40 or 50 yards. I don't have the stats in front of me, but still a nice week becoming a steady performer, and I definitely like Doug Martin there. So at 11, a guy you just gave a game ball to, staying in that line. I want my running back still, especially in this spot when I'm near the turn. Give me Marshawn Lynch, just steady as a rock, solid production week after week, and that's what I'm looking for here.
Yeah, I almost took Marshawn Lynch, but I just opted for Martin. But they're both just awesome. I really love Marshawn Lynch, and I was not sold on him, as in the preseason. I thought maybe
some serious debates about him,
but he's got me a believer. There's no doubt about that. So we are, God, what are we at? Number 12.
Number 12. You get to go back to back here.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
You weren't prepared for one, let alone two.
Oh, sure. I'm always prepared. I'm almost going to have to think here, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, and then there's a big fall, probably a seven or eight spot fall. But, yeah, I think still getting it done solid there, especially at the turn. There's a guy you grab and you're pretty comfortable with at number 12.
And I'm gonna be believing here the rest of the year that Jamaal Charles is going to live up to the bill.
Oh, you're not going back. What a waste of a pick. You could have had him in the fourth round.
We're only doing two.
We're doing three, first of all. We got 20 minutes left. We got a lot of show to kill here. So, yeah, that's a terrible pick, Rick, and I'm saddened by that. So coming back up at 11, I got my steady as a rock type of running back in Marshawn Lynch. I think it's time to grab my quarterback now. And I think good value here coming back up in the second round. Go ahead and give me RG3 here. There's my splash to go along with my solid Marshawn Lynch. Now I have a high upside guy like RG3.
All right. That is fine. All right. Now I'm going with Doug Martin. I think I'm going to go try to get a good wide receiver, and I like heading on out the rest of the way. I like Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy you wouldn't have saw as a second-round wide receiver at the beginning of the year. This is a guy a lot of us stole late, but, yeah, no doubt about it. I think if you're ranking your wide receivers, he's right there after the three we've already mentioned. I don't hate that. So coming back up at number 9, or heading back the other way, but the 9th overall pick, I got to pair somebody with A.J. Green. This is a little tougher, Rick, I got to tell you. But I'm thinking, I got A.J. Green. He's been struggling. Well, he hasn't been struggling. He's been underused. But at this value, heading this late, go ahead and give me Ray Rice. Pay him up. Pair him up with A.J. Green. If they ever let Ray Rice do what Ray Rice does, I could score 100 points right there with just those two guys.
If they do that, yeah. And if these guys can finish anything like they did last year, I'm going to hope that they do. I'm going to pair up Tom Brady with LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look how far both of these guys have fallen, but putting together a nice team there. So now I'm coming up. Now I got to pair somebody with Matt Ryan. The pickings are getting a little slim here already, Rick. I'm struggling to come up with a name. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this is tough. You can tell we didn't prepare any of this beforehand. Here's a guy sort of where he went in that point. I got Matt Ryan. I want to get my running back. They're running thin. I think at this point, probably the next guy in terms of production, I'm not real comfortable with it, but jumping up, I like Frank Gore there, pairing him up with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, a little higher than what I put him, but, I'm not going to sit here and go, you care, we'll pick. But
I don't sound like that.
Yeah, you do. You sound real faggy, you know what I mean? All right.
You can't say that on the radio. No, I'm going to have to edit that. What are you doing? I'm going to be up half the night now.
Yeah, give you something to do.
I can't believe you said that.
I'm going to go. Oh. I think I'm going to go Demaryius Thomas with Chris Johnson.
Yeah, that's a nice little put together there. Demaryius Thomas, another huge week this week, and that'd be a pretty solid team right there. All right, so now we're at the team. I took Arian Foster. I'm looking at the quarterbacks here. I feel like I need to grab another quarterback. However, now we're getting to the point, I think, Rick, where the guys sort of start to come together. You know what I mean? Now I'm looking at Stafford and even Andrew Luck up there on that list, and Freeman, Roethlisberger hurt now, Eli, who's under Ryan Fitzpatrick, which that surprises me to see. I'm going to go out there. I've got Arian Foster. I can wait on a quarterback. I'll come back down. So I think I need to find a wide receiver. For me, I know he's hurt. I'm going to make this pick pretending he's not hurt. I don't know when he's going to be back, how banged up he is. But I'm going to live. This is a fantasy world we live in, and this draft means nothing. So for these purposes, Percy Harvin is not injured, and I would love to have him with Arian Foster the rest of the way.
Well, I would, too. I thought we were, kind of picking, I see what you're doing. You wish he wasn't hurt. But,
yeah, and that's what we can do. That's what I can do because I have the microphone, and you listen to every damn word I say. As I forget where I heard that, but I always enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you're out of it tonight.
I tell you, well, I just, I'm listening to, I'm just hanging on every word you're saying, that's all. It's just, I mean, I'm mesmerized by the intelligence spewing from you.
As you should be. Yeah. So your turn there,
okay,
Slappy.
And I am pairing with, since you're writing them down, Brandon Marshall. Oh, boy, yeah, the pickings are a little slim right now. But I tell you what, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, the year he's putting up, he's a top-notch quarterback, and he's throwing up the points.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it like that. So now I got Adrian Peterson. I'm looking for, again, I think I can wait, especially being near the turn here. I can wait for these quarterbacks who are sort of lumped together, so I want to get some receiver talent. I got a solid but a home run hitter like AP. I'm going to just take a solid week-to-week wide receiver, a guy who's lived up to his hype as far as I'm concerned, and writing about the place we did draft him in August. Give me Roddy White in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great pick, Roddy White. And
what, let's cut it off here after two rounds, and we'll take the last 10 minutes to sort of analyze how this compares with what happened in August.
That sounds good. Where were we at here? The next to the last
pick. The next to the last pick, the 23rd pick.
And I'm pairing up
with Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers. I'll tell you what, I like the year that he's having. Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, okay. So there he is. He missed some games, but really seems to be turning it around. And for me, Rick, with the last pick of the second round, a guy I'm surprised fell this far, but we sort of got away. And I might regret the Frank Gore pick now that I'm thinking about this earlier on. So this number one team paired with Drew Brees, a guy who's come out of nowhere, a guy who wasn't even drafted to be in the last pick in the second round. We talk about what Lynch has done just in terms of being solid. Give me Alfred Morris in this spot. I'm feeling pretty good with what he's been able to do along with Drew Brees.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's a great back to have. There's no doubt about it. I'm kind of wondering how Washington's going to finish up, you know, coming down to the division here. But, you know, time will tell. He's a good back, and Shanahan's going with him, so, the line, which is one good thing.
That's the odd thing. Anybody who Shanahan will give the ball to a lot will succeed. And finally, for the first time in years, for the first time since Terrell Davis, really, he's picked a wide receiver or a running back and stuck with him, and you see how it pans out. So, Rick, let's compare this a little bit. Let's we'll run through the ADPs early in the year, or I'm not sure as of when this was, so probably after most of your drafts went on. Arian Foster, 1. We took him at 5, so not a big change there. Ray Rice, 2, falls to the early second round. And I think, again, I don't want to belabor the point, but just to the point that he's yards per carry looking good, he's fine in the end zone. They just won't give the poor man the ball, and I don't understand it.
I don't either. Baltimore's offensive scheme, and yet they're 7-2. So, you know, it's kind of – we can sit here and say, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, oh, look what they're doing.
Yeah, they're winning games.
They're doing okay, you know. But I still think once you start getting into the time of the year when the weather starts getting bad, I think you're going to see his workload pick up.
You're probably right as Flacco becomes more and more Joe Flacco-like. So number 3, Aaron Rodgers. We had him at 2, no change there. Calvin Johnson, 5th overall. I know I drafted him there in one league, in a smaller league I play in. See Calvin Johnson move down to 12. Not a huge drop, had a couple of tough games. Then it went Tom Brady at 6. We had him at 8, no big change there. So, you know, rather than read down through this, some of the names high on this might be the better way to look at it that we didn't even consider in the first two rounds. As I look at the first 24, I see names such as Darren McFadden is the first one I see there.
And even like you did with Harvin, you can pretend he's not hurt, but who cares?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Darren McFadden now with the injury, but even before the injury, a big, you know, big disappointment to this point in the year, and you see him nowhere in this 24 we just came up with now.
Yeah, I mean, just a utter disappointment.
Yeah, you know, another one, he was number 9, the number 10.
And let's not, don't mean to interrupt you, but forget that as bad as McFadden has, it's not like they're on this totally anemic offense. I mean,
no.
Carson Palmer's putting up points, Denarius Moore's become pretty dangerous.
Hayward Bay's fantasy relevant. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, and Brandon Myers, you know, the tight end's been putting up some numbers. That basically the rushing game is what's the only thing that's been lacking.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, and as I look at this ADP, it goes 9, 10, 11. Number 10, Matt Forte, a guy on a Bears team, what are they sitting, 8-1, 9-1, whatever they are? And Forte hasn't been a big part of it. 7-2, so that's right. They did just lose to the Texans, forgive me. But, you know, Matt Forte, while this team's been successful, they've been doing it through the air and doing it with Brandon Marshall, who you have at 4 overall.
Yeah, and maybe a bit high for Marshall, but I just think he's awful solid. I'm going to pretend Cutler's not hurt, too.
Yeah, so. Well, you can certainly do that. And then he was at 10 at number 11, Cam Newton. Here's a guy who's nowhere near this top two, and I think we could have gone 6 rounds, and Cam Newton's name would have never came up.
Yeah, most likely. What is the point? Luck would be going ahead of him in my mind. I'm trying to think of some other ones, but it doesn't matter. He has dropped.
Yeah, just been terrible going down. Jimmy Graham at 12, he fell a little bit there, but hard to argue there. Matthew Stafford, the guy who was considered sort of the number 4 guy, and here showing in the second round, most leagues I drafted in. You saw him closer to earlier in the third, thinking you got a steal if you passed up on these big guys in the first round. Stafford's been is about the best I can come up with. He's been fine, but just hasn't put up those numbers, those cartoon-like numbers that he put up last year. The entire Detroit team's been a big disappointment.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And it's just one of those things. I just don't think, I mentioned 1,000 times, I just don't think they seem to be that well under control and that well coached. I really think they're underperforming what they have on that team.
Next one, a guy who was living up to this potential before the injury, and we won't pretend the injury didn't happen here, but MJD, a guy we just can't take because he hasn't been healthy. Once he got back, really defying the odds of things we talked about with these guys who hold out, he was still getting it done when you write about that average draft position until the injury came up. Gronkowski, 15. Here's a disappointment, certainly not his fault, but a terrible team around him, real questions at quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald with an ADP of 16. It sounds odd to do two rounds of a fantasy draft and not have his name come up.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking about that. When you were going to hit him, I didn't know what his ADP was, but I knew it was, early second round. And, you just can't go with that right now. The Cardinals' defense is letting them down. Their offense is just poor.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just awful. Such a waste of a great talent. You saw what he could do when he had Kurt Warner out there. And he'll put up his 1,000 yards and get in the end zone 7 or 8 times with these disastrous quarterbacks. I'd really like to see them get a quarterback out there and help Larry Fitzgerald out. Right after him, more injury concerns. But to me, it'd been a disappointment when healthy. DeMarco Murray, a guy we spent a lot of time in the offseason talking about. I know you basically wish he would move in here with you for most of the summer. You were in such love with DeMarco Murray. And a disappointment when he was playing safe for a game or two and now banged up and can't seem to get back on the field.
Yeah, and I'm just starting to wonder, granted his career has been extremely short, but I'm just hoping this isn't his M.O., kind of like another Darren McFadden, okay, this is the year. Okay, and then next year rolls around. Okay, this is the year.
It's got to be. Darren McFadden, and that's a perfect example, same way. The if game you play with some of these guys, if he'd stay healthy, if he'd get enough carries, if. But
yeah.
The ifs never seem to come together for Darren McFadden. And I'm starting to wonder, again, we're only halfway through his second year, and he only played half a year last year. But more questions than answers with this guy.
Exactly. I'm starting to wonder if ever a Cowboy running back can, play a season.
Yeah, that's a shame of it. The team just doesn't have a running game. As I look down here, 19 was Adrian Peterson, and I'm actually surprised his ADP was that high. To be honest, I'd have a hard time, Rick, if I actually had the first pick in a draft next summer, if everything stayed the way it was. Now, I know we went Breeze and Rodgers. It'd be hard to pass up Adrian Peterson there. Like I said early in the show, this guy went out with a devastating injury less than a year ago, and he's better than he was before he went out. We had all this talk, would he start the year, would he play, how long would it take him to get going? It took him about 15 minutes is what it took him. He had 3 touchdowns his first game back. This guy still getting it done. It's just amazing.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys, and we can sit here and bluster all we want. Yeah, I'm going to take, Aaron Rodgers or whatever. But probably in August, if I've got number one pick, probably going to go Adrian
Peterson. It's going to be hard not to take Adrian Peterson and go ahead and get you Peyton Manning at the beginning of the third round, and you'll probably be just fine. Here's a name, a guy just can't get it going, 20th overall in ADP, wasn't mentioned here. This was 2 years ago. He'd have been looking in the 7 to 12 range. Andre Johnson, just been a huge disappointment. Actually healthy this year. He sort of had the McFadden issues with, he's a huge talent, probably the best in the league, but always banged up. He's fairly healthy this year and just not getting it done.
Yeah, and he's always had a lot of that, the soft tissue injuries and everything. It seemed to, long time healing. It would always nag him and so forth, hamstrings and that kind of thing. But, yeah, this year he's healthy, but, Schaub we'll have a big game here, and then maybe 2 weeks in a row, they're fairly quiet. The defense handles them. They run the ball a lot, throw some short stuff, and go on their way. And he just had not having those explosive days like he did in the past when they were always behind, it seemed, and they had to throw the ball.
Yeah, no question about it. So moving on after that, Ryan Matthews, a guy we didn't mention at 23. He had a lot of question marks coming in. And then after that, Marshawn Lynch with an ADP at 24. Anywhere I drafted him was more the middle to the late third round is where he fell. So now we're talking about this guy. I took him at 11. Yeah, we've given him a lot of dap this episode. This guy was just a steal for where you drafted him.
Yeah, and if this guy stays healthy, he's still a young back. And, if he doesn't suffer any significant injuries, he's going to be extremely difficult to pass up in the first, you say, seven picks or so next year.
Yeah, it will be if you're looking for that. If you're towards the end of the first round, it's what I said when I picked him there. I'm going to go ahead and take him solid and then come back and get more of a flashy upside type of guy coming back up just to have a guy that it's almost a guarantee. Yeah, as I look through this, we're almost out of time, Rick. Just a couple of names that were higher on this list were sort of beyond, where we drafted there. You see Brandon Marshall was about an average of 30. You took him at 4, so even if that is a little high, the guy has made a leap, had some question marks coming in, answered all of those easily.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I'm making a lot of those picks just based on the rest of the year, and what he's put up so far this year, if Cutler's healthy, I see no reason for him to not do the same kind of numbers. He's a leading scoring receiver, fantasy-wise in PPR. So,
yeah, and in a sloppy track, an injured quarterback still managed to get over 100 yards last week. That's what he didn't do. And the difference this year between him and Miami, getting in the end zone and getting in the end zone consistently, he was putting up the yardage in Miami, but fantasy-wise, he wasn't putting up the numbers because he couldn't find the end zone. He's turned that around and in a big way this year.
Well, exactly. And they've got a way to move the ball besides him. Say what you want about Cutler, but he's a lot more savvy than what they were last year.
Yeah.
Matt Moore and company in Miami,
absolutely.
And they've got a nice rapport with Cutler. They had buddies before, and they had some big years. So, Cutler's got a gun. And, Chicago's just a good team.
Yeah, no question about it. Hopefully Cutler's all right, and that team can carry on. I think the league's better when the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, the Cowboys, and the Steelers are all good teams. I think it's just better for the league. Well, that's it, Rick. We got about a minute left. I want to thank everybody for joining in. We'll be back on Friday, a Football Friday, with our Start Sit, with Factor Fiction, all that good stuff.
Yeah, can't wait. And working into what? Week 11.
Week 11.
Can you believe it?
It's
ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about it. So thanks to everyone at 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock. Keep on listening. The fun carries on good Lord, I got tongue-tied there. The Tuesday Night Blitz. Stay tuned for Kellogg's comments. Greg breaking down everything that happened in Week 10 and all other types of fun and frivolity.
Fun and frivolity. You want that on the Tuesday Blitz.
That's right. That's what you get. So until Friday at 8 o'clock, live on AsylumFantasyFootball.com, we'll see you.
Take care.